Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
From the subtitle tonight, we're talking about something a little bit unique. We're talking about sins of omission. Sins of omission. And let me remind all of us, I want to believe that everybody in this room is a born-again child of God. Nothing better or more important could ever happen to you. It is life-changing. It is, as I'm going to continue to preach on this coming Sunday morning, it is identity-changing. The Bible says you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. It tells you that the old man has been put off and you're a new man now. And one of the great things about being a Christian and being a child of God is we have His Word that warns us of all the dangers that are out there. God loves you. He wants the best for you. And He warns you of those dangers. And we, the Bible, that is, refers to those as sins. And he names those sins. And those are sins we are not to commit. However, there's another way we can sin. And it's not by doing something, it's by not doing something. When you don't do something that the Lord wants you to do, because it's in your best interest, okay? It's in your best interest. And when He tells you to do something and you don't do it, that's a sin of omission. I heard about a man whose employer said to him, "You are fired." And he responded by saying, "Why? I didn't do anything." And he said, "That's why you're fired. You didn't do anything." It's not only what we do that we shouldn't, that is sin. It's things we should do that we don't do that is sin. And you should consider yourself this afternoon very blessed being in a church where we're going to take the Bible and are going to be reminded that there may be some things that we ought to be doing that we're not doing, that we need to start doing. I think all too often we're very much aware of the wrongs we do, the sins we do, but somehow it might be easy to neglect the things we should be doing, but we're not doing. And it's good for God in His Word to remind His children, gathered here this afternoon in Myo, Michigan, it's good for us to rehearse this to see if maybe there's some things that we ought to be doing, but we're not doing. Now, Joshua chapter 16, it's a narrative. It's a story. There's no doctrine laid out, but the story illustrates. It illustrates a principle. It illustrates the principle of the sin of omission. So the sin of omission simply means to not do something that you're supposed to do. And an example would be to tithe. I mean, the Bible's very clear that we're supposed to tithe. Now, if you're sitting in this room and you're not tithing as you should, that is a sin. We would call that not a sin of commission, but a sin of omission. You're not doing something that the Lord wants you to do. Another example would be witnessing. The Lord wants us all to be a witness. I mean, that's something that we should be conscious of 24/7 and everywhere we go. So you're supposed to witness, and if you don't witness, then we would refer to that as a sin of omission. I like this quote: "A man does not sin by commission only, but often by omission." And that's illustrated, I think, very clearly in Joshua chapter 16. Joshua chapter 16 is a pretty bland, if you will, chapter. Again, it's one of those chapters where they're dividing up the land. We've been in a lot of that lately. And that in and of itself is significant. But in a lot of those chapters, you'll find a little nugget of gold that teaches a lesson. And I want you to see that nugget of gold in Joshua chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. In this chapter, it is very clear that somebody commits a sin of omission. See if you can recognize it when we read it. Starts off in verse number 1. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan. Again, he's dividing up the land. The different tribes are being given their portions of the promised land. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along unto the borders of Arki and Ataroth. Okay, pretty mundane stuff. And then verse number 3 continues, and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhlet, and unto the coast of Beth-horon, and Nether, and to Geza, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, now these are the two that he's dividing this property among, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. So this is we're describing the boundaries of the land these tribes are inheriting. Now skip down to verse number 10. And they drave not out the Canaanites. I guess it's kind of easy to recognize the sin of omission since I have it underlined for you up there. They drave not out the Canaanites. They were told to drive them out, to disperse them. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and they serve under tribute. Now, chapter 16 describes the land allotted to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Then it notes, it's significant. God not only knows what we do, but he notices what we don't do. And God takes note and puts it in Scripture forever that they did not remove the Canaanites from the land as they had been instructed. It says, they drave not. That's a sin of omission. In other words, they didn't do something they were supposed to do. And it has consequences. As children of God, when God tells us not to do something, no matter how much our flesh may want to do that or be tempted to do that, we need to understand and accept that God knows best. And when God tells us to do something, we need to understand that that's something that's in our best interest and it furthers the kingdom of Christ. And even though our flesh may not, even though we may want to not do it, even though it may make us uncomfortable, or even though it may be difficult or challenging, if God tells us to do something, we need to understand it's in our best interest. And anytime we deny God's directions to not do something or to do something, it's going to have consequences. And a lot of Christians suffer because even after they're saved, they struggle with their old nature, their old identity. I think that's what we're going to be focusing on this Sunday. I'm still a little bit undecided as to what direction I'm going to go. It's going to be on identity. But even after you get saved, you can struggle. And we just need to be reminded, turn over your desires and your feelings and your fears and your apprehensions to the Lord and simply do as you're told. Because if you don't do what he tells you to do, the consequences are just as bad as doing something he tells you not to do. So we read in Joshua that Ephraim and his brother did not drive out the Canaanites. And you see how it plays out in the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 1, we see it playing out. We see the decision playing out. It has consequences. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, who are still living there, and did not utterly drive them out. The Lord hadn't forgotten. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. In Judges chapter 3 now, we skip there, verse number 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives. Uh-oh. And gave their daughters to their sons. Uh-oh. And served their gods. Double uh-oh. Then in verse number 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Again, when you study Scripture, you understand really that sins can be categorized into one of two groups. The sins of commission, things that you do that you shouldn't be doing, like lying, cheating, or stealing. But there's also perhaps the more subtle sin, the sin less spoken of, but just as deadly, the sins of omission, things that God told you to do, but you're not doing them. I've given an example already of tithing and witnessing and throwing their attending church. Manasseh and Ephraim, it is clearly stated, it says, and they drave not out the Canaanites. Now, a question would be, why not? Why didn't they? And we're not particularly told why that happened. One writer suggests that it was either cowardice or maybe covetousness. They were going to use these people. And he says, and I quote, and they drave not out, which is nothing for their commendation, but discovereth either their cowardice or their covetousness or both. Why do people today not do what God tells them to do? Could it be cowardice? I'm afraid to witness. I'm afraid to tithe. Or could it be covetous? I covet my worldly friends' approval and the unsaved world's approval, so I don't want to come across as too committed, so I just kind of back off and I'm not going to go to church. They'll think I'm a fanatic if I go to church all the time. We don't really know why these two brothers didn't do what they were supposed to do, but chances are it could have been cowardice. It could have been covetousness. But we do know this. It led to problems. We just need to understand and trust God that when He tells us to do something, we just do it. Too many people, when it comes to tithing, for example, they try to analyze, they try to figure it out, and when they can't figure it out in their finite mind, they just don't do it. But we need to understand, whatever sin of omission we may be committing, it has debilitating consequences. God loves us enough to spank us when we misbehave. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't spank us. But because He loves us, He spanks us. And look at what happens. What did it lead to? This sin of omission. They intermarried with pagans, which they were forbidden to do, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons. Can you only imagine the long-term consequences of that? People that are saved are only supposed to be married people that are saved. And when you start intermingling with unsaved people or people of false religions or pagans, it's only going to make life worse. And the Lord knows that. So He tells us, don't do that. They adopted their gods. In that same verse at the end, it says, and serve their gods. Not based on something they did, but something they didn't do. And then they mimicked their lifestyle, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, Judges 3:7. Serious consequences when we don't do what the Lord wants us to do. Can it be said of you and I this afternoon that we're doing all that we know to do? Are there some things that we justify not doing? And thinking for some reason that we're going to get away with it. And you don't do it because you necessarily fear God. We're to respect God, but you do it because you know it's right, because you trust Him. And you know it's the right thing to do, and you know in doing it, He's going to bless you. And that's the reason we do it. We're motivated out of love for our Father who saved us. Now, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And we see the consequences here. And then you read on in the next verse in Judges chapter 3, verse number 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. You know, life in this sin-cursed world is hard enough as it is. We don't need to be on God's bad side. You know, I've heard people say, well, God loves you just the way you are. And they seem to think that kind of means I can just kind of choose what I want to do and live how I want to live. Yeah, God loves you just the way you are, but He doesn't want you to stay that way. That's the reason for the whole process of sanctification. And as you grow in the Lord, as you mature, you realize that doing the things God tells us to do is in our best interest, and it brings honor and glory to Him. Can you think of anything right now? Is the Holy Spirit bringing anything to your mind right now that you're not doing faithfully like you know you should, as the Bible teaches? Can you think of anything like that? And if you think that it's not going to have consequences, according to Scripture, you couldn't be more mistaken. I like this quote. This sort of compromise, talking about Ephraim and Manasseh, seems innocent. But it became the way that much idolatry and immoral worship came into the people of Israel. This is one reason why we see so many struggles in the days of the judges. Sins of omission are costly. A couple other quotes. Canaanites remaining in the land were a type of sin remaining in the heart of the Christian. Are there things in your life right now, maybe programs you watch, things you read, places you go, or ways you dress, that God has told you to do something else and you're simply not doing it and thus committing a sin of omission? Another quote says, these Canaanites were a cause of future trouble and constant temptation to idolatry and immorality. We shall always suffer when we neglect God's will for worldly convenience. Can you think of things you ought to be doing that you're not doing? And some of these might be personal things, the personal leading of the Lord. I mean, is there somebody in here that is supposed to be teaching Sunday school? And you know you've been called to do it, and you know you've been gifted to do it, but for whatever reason you haven't done it. Or maybe, you know, work on the vans, you know, help bring people to church, sing in the choir. Is there something that you're suffering for, and the Lord is using this message? It's something that, you know how it goes, because I sit out in the pulpit. I listen to preaching, too. I listen to preaching almost every morning as part of my devotions, and I'll get convicted. You know, somebody will be preaching on something, and it'll come to the surface. And it just might be tonight, as we're preaching on sins of omission, that you know that there's something that you're supposed to be doing, you've been called to do, but you haven't done it. It's not me calling you to do it. It's not your spouse. But you know God's called you to do it. That's a real problem. No sin of omission is ever small. And that's the kind of thing, you know, I mean, if you or doing a sin of commission, well, I think we would all agree, you know, you go out and get drunk. That's obviously really bad. You go out and you mess around with someone. That's obviously bad. Cuss somebody out. That's obviously bad. But when it's something you're not doing, you're just sitting in your easy chair, that might not seem so bad that you really should be preparing a Sunday school lesson, but you're not even involved in ministry or something like that. We might dismiss that. But understand, no sin of omission is very small. Number one, think about it. It slights God's authority. God has told you to do something. You know, I don't know, sing in the choir, work in the nursery, do something like that, and you're not doing it. I mean, think about it. God has put that on your heart. And to not do it, that's not a light thing. You're slighting God's authority. It implies, number two, alienation of heart from God. I mean, you're not convicted by that? I mean, that's an indication that you're alienated from God. And number three, there is no fear of God before the eyes. It's like, I never thought about it. Maybe that explains why things are not going well. Maybe that explains why I'm having so much trouble, so many difficulties. Another quote. It is not only what we do, but also what we do not do for which we are accountable. That's a great quote. And look, I don't think the Lord's trying to use me to put an unnecessary guilt on you. I mean, it could be that every person in this room is in the center of God's will. Not a person in this room is committing a sin of omission. But probably more realistically, there may be a number of us in this room that have a sin of omission. And the Lord is doing a wonderful work by convicting you of that. He brought it to mind. That's what I was talking about a while ago. It's funny how you'll hear preaching. And the preaching is so powerful. The problem will just rise to the surface. Nobody's got to say anything to you. You're just sitting there. I'm preaching. And you know what the problem is. Let me, real quick, just give you some examples of sins of omission that people may commit. Just examples. And let's see if, do your own inventory tonight. Or are you guilty of any of these? Number one, failing to pray regularly or failing to pray for others in our lives. We know that the Bible puts a huge emphasis on prayer. And if you're not praying as you know you should, then that would be a sin of omission. It costs the children of Israel dearly because they thought, you know, no, we don't really have to do that. Number two, failing to tithe or be faithful stewards in our finances. That would be a sin of omission. Number three, failing to help another person when we have both the capacity and a nudging from the Holy Spirit to do so. That would be another indication of a sin of omission. Failing to provide for our family, especially those of our own household. Number five, failing to read and study the Bible regularly. It's only in our best interest to do that. God is so good to convict us when we don't. Number six, failing to fellowship with other Christians and attend church. And you folks are here on Wednesday night, and typically the folks that are here that are in any church on Wednesday night are usually there on other times that they're supposed to be at church. So I would hope this one isn't applicable. I wouldn't think it is to very many people. Failing to rid your life of sinful thoughts and actions. Failing to do what you're supposed to do. Failing to do what you know that you are supposed to do. And also, as I mentioned earlier, and I want to emphasize, just witnessing. Just witnessing to people. Passing out a tract. Sharing the gospel with somebody. Inviting someone to church. during this message, has the Lord brought something to the forefront of your conscience? Something He did, something you're thinking about right now that you know it's a sin of omission. According to Scripture, according to the illustration of Joshua, and then we see it being played out in Judges, that needs to be addressed. Simply do what He tells you to do. Don't, you know, and if it's clear from the Lord, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to analyze it. If you know it's a clear leading of the Lord, then just do it. You know, join the choir if that's what He's put on your heart. You know, be a Sunday school teacher or help in Sunday school or, you know, usher or a greeter or working in the nursery. Or it may be more things like praying and reading your Bible and witnessing. Has the Lord laid anything on your heart? Good news is, you can say, Lord, I repent. I am sorry. And with your help and by your grace, I am going to correct that. And I haven't been doing it, but I'm going to start doing it. And the Lord would be pleased. And you would be in a position of blessings rather than in a position of chastisement. This last quote, not only our actions, but also our omissions become our destiny. That's a quote worth writing down. Not only our actions, but our omissions become our destiny. It would truly be a shame if a gifted Sunday school teacher in this room, potential Sunday school teacher, who should be teaching but is gifted, what a shame to come to the end of your life having not used that ability to touch so many others. What a shame it would be for someone in this room that God has gifted with a very good voice. And not to say that everybody with a good voice ought to be in the choir, but you have a good voice, and you know the Lord wants you to be in the choir. That's who I'm talking to. I'm not saying everybody with a good voice has to be in the choir. I mean, my voice is fantastic, but sarcasm once again. Failed attempt at sarcasm. But just think about it. Just think about it. Is there anything that you know? Not me to tell you, or anybody else, you just know in your life personally, at home, at work, that you ought to be doing, that you're not doing, or maybe as it relates to ministry here, that you ought to be doing, but you're not doing. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord convicts us, because then we have the opportunity to fix it. It's a very personal message. It is so well illustrated here where it says they drove not out the Canaanites. And in the book of Judges, here's the problem. Let's make it a little more personal. Are there things in your life now that you're allowing that you shouldn't be? Okay. Think about that. But are there things in your life that you ought to be doing that you're not doing? By ought to be doing, I mean ought to be getting rid of some things, and you're not doing that. Some entertainment, some this or that. If the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart this evening, that's a wonderful thing. It just shows that you're a child of God. He loves you. He wants you to do right. He has your best interest in mind and the best interest for the cause of Christ in mind. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Standing with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.